This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome back the Cowboy Junkies. This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Michael Timmons. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Great to see you. Michael Timmons of the Cowboy Junkies, as I mentioned earlier. I'm welcoming back the band because the band has been on the program a few years back with Margo, your sister Margo, and with bassist Alan Anton. And of course, your other brother Peter on drums, the band no stranger to our listeners, I'm sure. I know you're originally from the Toronto area. Is that where you guys are still based out of?
Yeah. Well, Alan's on the West Coast. He's been in British Columbia for a while now. And Peter and I still live in Toronto. And Margo lives about 2 hours north of Toronto, but within the area. So, yeah.
Is that good to kind of keep, kind of keep close to your home base?
Well, Toronto's an amazing city. And I do a lot of studio work, so it's as far as production goes, so it's nice. Like, so I know, you know, I just have a great community of musicians there, so it'd be hard for me to leave if I wanted to continue to do what I do, you know.
Yeah, and, it would seem to be a great.
Yeah, and it's a really good city. Like, it's a big city, but it's a really vibrant and exciting to be in it, and it's great for the kids. You know, so I want the kids to grow up in a city, so it's kind of, you know, it touches all the buttons. So
yeah. And the Raptors have been good for a while here recently.
Yeah, that's right. We have a lot of number one rappers coming out of there, so whatever that does.
We got some of the best fans. If you watch basketball, like they stay long after their team has been knocked out of the playoffs.
Yes.
They're still there cheering for them.
Yes, exactly.
And I remember LeBron James was like the one who knocked him out, and he was just going, "Look at these fans, they're fantastic." Yeah. You know, it's great.
They're getting jaded now, though. They're beginning to get a little bit. Sort of, okay, now we want more now. That's enough. Now we want more.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Now, we were talking earlier before we started the interview about, you know, the fact that you guys have been here a few times here to Montana. Mm-hmm. Any other Montana connections other than coming through a few times?
No, I mean, I've been here. My wife and I did a road trip a few years ago. Well, quite a few years ago now, and we drove through some of Montana. So, you know, I'm not blowing smoke here, but whenever I drive through this area, I just think, God, I've just got to come back here and spend a month driving around it, because it's so frustrating to be on a bus or, you know, going from gig to gig, and you can't stop and you can't enjoy it. And I'm a fisherman too, so it's like, oh, I just want to go to the
bus. Kind of torturous.
It's torturous. I have a day off tomorrow, and we're in Boise, so there's enough opportunities there, but up here it's just so spectacular. So I'd like to get back to it one day.
Well, you wouldn't be the first musician to travel through Montana, especially fisher person.
Yes, fisher person, yes.
Who wanted to stop and wet their line.
Yeah.
Well, before I get any further, I should tell listeners we're doing this interview, we'll say backstage at the Top Hat in Missoula. And so we might have a few, you know, backstage kind of sounds going on. Michael, I wanted to talk about the most recent recording project, Notes Falling Slow. Can we talk about this a little bit? This is a really fascinating project to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a compilation of, it's mainly focused around three albums that we released in the early 2000s. So the album's been Open, One Soul Now, and At the End of Paths Taken, which they were released in like 2000, 2004, and 2006. And they were released, they were licensed out to a company in the around the world, and the licenses came due again. And we just thought, you know, these are records that were very important to us. We don't want them to go out of print, and we want to sort of reintroduce people to them. You know, it's kind of nice to do that every now and then, you know, records that aren't, records that aren't Trinity Session. You know, there are records that get lost, you know, especially when you've done 16, 17, 18 records. So we thought, you know, packaging it up and then adding a fourth disc, which was songs that we had written during that period, but we never made the records. We re-recorded those and worked on them a bit and got them up to snuff. So it's a nice big package, yeah.
Pardon me for interrupting. So that fourth disc, those were new recordings of the songs written, or they not songs that had been recorded during that time.
No, they were stockpiled. I think there might be one or two in there that we went with the original with the recording that we did at the time. But most of them we because we never got to the point. There were often you get when you work on an album, you have a bunch of songs and certain songs get to a certain point in the process and then you drop them, and these were songs that didn't get beyond, like, you know, just roughing them out and we thought, we'll leave that for later. So with this package we decided to bring them forward and figure out what we could do with them. And that's kind of nice sometimes, because with a little bit of hindsight and, you know, letting a song sit for 10 years, you can go back to it and go, okay, well, this is what we should have done with it, or what we meant to do with it, or this is how we make it work, or something makes sense. So and the other thing about the three records that are in the package is that they're all very thematic, thematically linked. They're during a period of our lives where a lot of us were had young families, and it was a very tumultuous time in the world, if you remember. Mm-hmm. You know, being 2001 and 2008, and you know those all the years in between. And so it kind of has this nice theme that runs through all the songs.
Little boy. chosen, perhaps to lead. One day he'll be shaken, maybe taken, perhaps to bleed. My big girl swinging from above,
my little girl on the beach,
fist of stone flying above the yard. Halfway down, or maybe it's the other way around for my little common niche. One day she'll be moonlight, maybe too bright, perhaps too shine. One day she'll be found out, maybe ground down, perhaps she'll cry.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight on Montana Public Radio. I'm joined today by Michael Timmons of Cowboy Junkies. And I'll mention to listeners again that we are doing this recording backstage at the Top Hat in Missoula. My understanding was that the writing of those songs, as you said, kind of came specifically from some stuff that you all were doing with families. Mm. And if I ask, weren't you in the process of starting your own family?
Yeah.
If you're comfortable.
I mean, I have three kids. Two of my kids were adopted, and my first child was adopted in 97 and the second one in 2002, and then I have a biological boy who was in 2000. So, you know, I had a very young family at that time. So, and Alan's family's a bit older, and but still very young. Margot had was, you know, I think 2004 maybe. So we all had very young families. So it was very, that alone totally screws with your life and with your work habits and how you approach things and how you look at things. So it was interesting. You know,
yeah. And again, if I may ask, do you find those things affecting your writing in terms of writing specifically about those issues? It seems like those are issues that life events that can make for very rich songwriting. It's also very personal. I don't know. I'm just curious your take on
that.
Yeah,
I mean, my writing always tends to somehow reflect back to where I am in my life and what's happening in my life. It's not necessarily a diary, but it's reflecting, you know, what I'm going through, how I'm viewing the world, you know, my connections to the world, and of course that changes radically when you have kids and how you connect it and how you relate to it and how you see the future and how you see the present and. So yeah, that's always been a big part of my writing, and it still is. So that period for me was tough because it was hard to get time, because all of a sudden all that free time you used to have to write and play music is now being sucked up by more mundane things, more pleasurable things, raising small children, And but at the same time, that the reality of life is providing with tons and tons of inspiration and direction and new ways of looking at things. So, you know, there's sort of this weird frustration where you have all these ideas, but it's hard to get to work on the ideas because that time you need is sort of being taken away. So that's part of the process.
Michael, I also wanted to touch on the project before that, because you guys do some really interesting compilations and revisitings. And this is not so much a revisiting, but the concept of the Nomad series.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, that was a project we did. I guess it's been 2010 to 2012-ish was sort of the period when we wrote and recorded it. And it was this idea where we came up with this idea to record four records in the case of, well, we started at 18 months, but we decided we will do it in over 2 years. So write and record four albums of new material and have them themed in a way, but have each album themed, not necessarily link the four of them thematically, but that each record we wanted to sort of, in a way, was sort of to show off a different side of the band. So the first album was called Renmin Park, which is a very, very experimental record, and it was based on my journeys through China with my family and a lot of field recordings, a lot of looping, and a very different record for us. And the second record was an album of covers of Vic Chestnut songs, and because there were, as you know, everybody knows our work, we do a lot of covers. We enjoy doing other people's music, whether it's live or on record or whatever. So, and Vic had just died that year, so that was, and Vic was a friend of ours, so that was a big, that was important to us, and that was an important record to us to do in there. And then the third record was called Sing in My Meadow, which was a more very electric, very psychedelic, and that's a big part of our live sound, which we don't necessarily explore that much on record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that.
So that was important, and to do that. And the fourth album was kind of back to the core of what we do, which is kind of like a folk singer-songwriter, you know, more sort of song-based, I guess. Mm-hmm. I thought I would lose my mind.
Michael, you mentioned, you know, the band likes to do covers, likes to explore other people's material. Is there a general, I don't know, approach or a general way that you guys look at starting something like that? Just like whether it's Vic Chestnut or some of these other folks. Do you start by trying to maybe be true to the original and then kind of explore it and make it your own? Or
no, I mean, we rarely will approach it from, okay, this is the way the record, this is the way the song sounds, let's copy that. It's rare we do that. It's more we kind of try and break it apart right away and then put it back together again, and make sure that we didn't lose anything essential in the song from our version, and also make sure, more importantly, that we brought something different to it. And so that's really the way we approach it. And they don't all always work, and, you know, we'll abandon them, or sometimes we'll get them on the road for a bit, and then we'll kind of like, it's not really working, so let's leave it. Because it's not the easiest thing to do, but we really like doing it. You know, it's really fun. It's really, really a big part of our creative process, really, to do it.
You mentioned 35 years? I knew it was over 30.
Well, I think White Sabbath Now came out in 86, so it's... So maybe 30 years. Yeah, 30 years. Yes, sorry. Yeah.
I'm getting ahead. I have no doubt that there will be a third. The way you guys have gone, there will be a 35th anniversary.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. At 35, you'll be putting out a sixth CD.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah. But that's got to be huge to be able to... Well, first of all, let's just stop and take a moment of silence for the fact that you've been able to keep the same members together for 30 years.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I was going to say undoubtedly assisted by the fact that you have three siblings in the group, but that's not a given. That could
exactly.
That can be,
a lot of bands don't survive with siblings. Yeah,
right.
No, we've been very good about trying to, keep taking the breaks where we can get away from each other, get away from the music, get away from the band, but also staying active enough where we feel connected to it. You know, it's kind of a weird balancing act, and so we've been very good at that, and. And I think, getting away from majors was very good, because that took a lot of sort of extraneous pressure off and extraneous voices off out of our ears, and that would helped a lot as well, where we could just do our own thing and just do it because we wanted to do it, and so that's been a big part of it.
Michael, you've mentioned a couple times the connection with the folks who follow your music, and I've found over the years, going back a ways, that people who are fans of Cowboy Junkies are fans of Cowboy Junkies. There's a really, really, really strong connection.
Talk about
just how, what that means to the group and how you've been able to foster that, over all these years.
Well, I mean, it's so vitally important to us. Again, being an independent act for almost 20 years now, it's been very important to keep that connection. And touring too, right? That's especially these days where it's very hard to sell a record. You know, the only way you can really make a living is to tour. So people coming back, for their 5th, 10th, 100th show, that's really important. It's amazing, and we never take that for granted. The things we do about that, we try and make sure our set list is always changing throughout our tour. We're always adding new songs. We're always asking for requests online, we're trying to involve that audience in the process a little bit. Obviously, they don't, they want us to make the music, and they don't want to get there. But we let their voices be heard, and with ever new technological revolution there is. Whether first it was websites, and now then it was downloading, and now it's streaming, and now it's social media. We always try and keep up with that too, just again to make sure that we can keep that audience and gather them in places which everybody can sort of gather in. So. It's very important to us. It's very, very important.
Now, I may be ignorant to this fact. Is there a term for hardcore junk?
Llamas.
Huh?
Llamas.
Llamas, okay.
Yes.
I was going to say.
It's very odd. It's a long story.
Well, I was thinking.
They name themselves.
Okay. I would assume they would.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was thinking, that's kind of interesting, because the band's name in and of itself kind of sounds like the people who would follow.
Yeah, right,
you know
right,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yes, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Find another day. Oh.
cowboyjunkies.com is the name of the website where you can find out more about what the group's up to. And there's it's a great website. There's kinds of stuff there for folks to check in on. And Notes Falling Slow is the most recent project, but there are many projects to refer to on the website. Michael, thanks so much for making time to join us here. And as I said, we're welcoming the group back. And perhaps down the road, we'll get a chance to visit with you guys again.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Michael Timmons of the Cowboy Junkies. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook as well as on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Top Hat and Log Jam Presents for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.